Welcome to the Journal Hijabi podcast. I'm your host, Sirin, and here we're all about elevating the voices of hijabi women in mainstream media through authentic storytelling. Without further ado, let's begin the episode.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Welcome back to the Journal Hijabi podcast. This is your host, Sirin. Today is December 2nd in Texas, and it's pretty chilly, but it's weird because last week it was like sunny. It just felt like it was summer again or like spring. I mean, that's just what's expected of Texas. But elephant in the room is I know I haven't recorded an episode in so long, but here I am with a life update. I believe the last episode I recorded on here was when I went to New York alone for the first time, and I sat in my hotel room and really just recorded like my thoughts about going to New York for the first time, my experiences, what I thought about it, and just so, I mean, thinking about that now, I'm not really sure what I said, but I think I was very honest and maybe I was a little bit too harsh about New York and what it's about. But it's pretty interesting because me and my sister are planning another trip to New York, even though I've literally kind of just came back from there like last month. And I had very strong feelings about it, as I should. I mean, this time I'm going with someone and I definitely have the experience of, you know, going there, how the airport looks like, where to go, the nice places, which hotels to stay at, which areas. And I was talking with her and it really does make a difference where you stay, like a street difference. So when I first arrived to New York, I stayed at Pod 39, which is, I guess it's like made for like solo people. It's like extremely small. It's like basically half the size of just like a normal bedroom. And so like you walk in and that's basically it. Like you just walk in. There's no, like, you don't, like, you just walk in and that's basically the room. Like you immediately either go to sleep or use the bathroom. But, you know, I liked it. I like that kind of cozy stuff. And, you know, when you're solo and it was kind of the vibe, like it was like gloomy and I watched Harry Potter and it was, you know, it was a vibe for a moment. And I really, really like their rooftop. So it's definitely an experience. And I got to experience like sort of like two different sides. So in the beginning, I stayed at Pond 39. And then my last day, I just decided to upgrade and like stay at a different hotel, which was like two blocks above, and it was like a whole different experience. Like I had the view of the city, the room was bigger, the bed was bigger. I felt like my whole thought of New York changed, which is weird. Like if you like, it really makes a difference where you stay. That's the experience that you're gonna have. So that's a little update. It's also my dad's birthday, which I thought I would mention because I do plan on making like a dad episode. I feel like I should really do that because I hear it on like different podcasts, like the Baba episode, and I'm just really into it, so I might do that. Let's get to today's episode topic, which is basically me quitting my 9-to-5 job, or technically it was 8-to-4, which is worse, but you know, it's like most commonly called 9-to-5. So I officially retired after 9 months, and I'm in this phase that I like to call fun employment. So it kind of puts the fun in unemployment, and I'm very big on knowing when something really starts like affecting like your mental health and your lifestyle, and something that's just really not meant for you. And so I really just like felt stuck at that place, and I really did try, it just wasn't working. And that's the thing, because you think that like that's what you're supposed to do and it should be your passion, and but then it like ends up not being, and you see like your coworkers around you, like I guess some of them are like actually excited to be there, and they wake up with bright faces and they're so happy. And I really tried that, but I was just like a gloomy dark cloud basically showing up. And even one of my coworkers told me that, which is pretty sad. So like they did like this goodbye party, and he came up to me and he said, you know, when you first started working here, you were like so bright and happy and like uplifting, and then like now you just look sad. And I was like, darn, yeah, yep, you're right, I do. It's like now more than any time, it's just what people my age are experiencing. Obviously, you know, everyone had like a different experience in the pandemic, but specifically people my age and generation, we like graduated college during that time and then like immediately threw ourselves in the workforce at a time of high rates of unemployment, pressure, burnout. So it was just horrible from the beginning. And ever since I graduated, like I've been trying to find like that job, that big girl job, that, I don't know, corporate job, 9-to-5, like something that I could just be stable in 5 years. But I can say that I'm still on that journey. So the job that I had was in the social work field. That's what I majored in college. And it was like a nonprofit. My role was a case manager that helps refugees resettle. And so, you know, obviously just right off the bat, it's like such a meaningful job, and it's like God's work. And so that's what kind of confused me, because it's like, how can I be doing something like so meaningful, like legit, probably like the most like important or caring or like meaningful, close to the soul kind of job in the world, like helping people that come from war. Like I was working with Ukrainian refugees, mostly Afghan refugees, Syrian refugees, and refugees from Congo. So, you know, like all around, but like it was just like confusing to me, like how could you not. And so I guess it's not like specifically like me not having a passion for it or not thinking that it's meaningful, but I think that I just like it just wasn't for me. And there was a part of me in that job like feeling bad that I would even think that, because how can I say that? How can I say that this kind of job is not for me? You know, like you're helping vulnerable populations with their life, resettling, like them coming here and not having a clue, and just basically helping them with all aspects. So it really took me a while to kind of sit with that and then just think about it in a way well, if I think that I'm not like meant to be here, like at this point, I'm really just harming myself even more by just staying here, because what if there's like something else meant for me and then I'm just like denying it for me by just like staying here in like the guilt, like just because. The work I was doing, I just felt like it was a lot because, again, it is a vulnerable population and you really have to help them with like every single thing. And I don't know if I'm going to get in trouble talking about this or if it's too confidential, but let's just hope no one from my job listens to it. Yeah, I mean, I'm not really, you know, obviously going to go into the detailed of it, but I guess it's just like an overview. What really, I guess, like had the most effect on me is like the work environment. And what I mean by that is just legit, like the way that the office and the building looks like. I'm not necessarily referring to the people, but I'm very big on environments because I believe that you spend a lot of time in certain environments, whether that be your car, your job, your house, living room, room, bathroom, kind of those things. So I'm like huge, like I'm like, that's my, I guess, splurge of like, I need to make sure that like I have, you know, a car that's just like pleasing to the eye. Obviously nothing like, not saying like it has to be like a luxury car, but yeah, I want something pleasing to the eye, because if I spend most of my time in there, like it really affects like your energy, and like the environment for me like makes or breaks me. And so the environment of that workplace was very cold, gray, office-y, like corporate-y, cubicle, like hospital vibes. And it, that like, I think that's like 50% of what really wasn't working for me. Like I noticed I'm such like, I need to be in a bright, happy, like playful, like with windows environment. And so I've come to the conclusion that a work environment that looks like that is like schools, working with kids and children. And it's interesting that I say that. It's kind of like full circle. The first job that I got after I graduated with social work was at a charter school that newly opened up. And I really did vibe with that school and like working with kids. Like they're just so cute and positive, and they just always give you like great energy, like no matter what happens, they're just, you know, they just, and like smiling and just make you laugh. And I just remember having a good time, and you know, the school, like it has like windows, it was like bright. That's kind of like my environment. So I really had a lot of time like to think during my fun employment. And by the way, it's literally only been like 3 weeks since I did leave that job, even though it does feel like a month. So I really had time to sit down and think, which is why I'm doing this podcast now, because, you know, now I have time to do it. And I've really been delving into like the creative side of me, and I'm very like creative, business oriented. Like last night I was looking at a magazine, and there were like these journal formatted like articles, and it really inspired me to, you know, get back into podcasting and create an episode and just like journal things and write things and kind of how the things are like formatted on the creative side. So, you know, it really opens up like different perspectives when you can sit back and just really understand like what's not meant for you. And it took me a long time to do that, and now that I'm doing it, I feel like I can finally breathe. And it's like this gap of, and I mean, you know, it's like I really considered it a luxury to be able to do so. I know that some people like, they just can't do that. You can't, like, leave your job because you need it, because you have all these bills, like the rent in the car and everything. And obviously, I've considered that it's taken a lot of planning and budgeting and paying off debt and things like that. But if you're ever in a job or an environment where it's just not for you, like, you need to leave. And it's funny, I was like talking about this to my yoga instructor, and like, she just always gives like the best advice, and she's just like so real about it. So she was like, jobs are basically like, you go in there, you get the experience, like by quote, this is what she said, you get in there, you get the experience, and then you get the F out of there. And so I love that. And I really like stood by that. And it's like, once I got the experience and like I got what I needed from there, I was like, okay, at this point, I'm like wasting my time. I need to leave. So it's very important to like notice that, listen to yourself, and act upon it, because you're going to be doing a disservice to yourself. And who knows like what's at the end of the tunnel. But just to kind of go back to that job and kind of relate this to journal hijabi, because I feel like I kind of need to relate topics like somewhat to the hijab. Like in this job, I was grateful that my boss was a hijabi. That's like extremely rare to say in the US. Like will always be grateful and blessed that I got to experience that. Like my direct boss was a hijabi. And my coworker was a hijabi. So, you know, like I was surrounded by like a Muslim environment, and even at one point the director was Muslim, so that wasn't a problem. Which is why I was just like, you know, really had to like think it through about like the job and like things like that. But I mean, it really came down to like the burnout, and not just the normal burnout that they repeatedly talk about in social work, but it was like beyond burnout, like more than ever. Employee retention, people just like leaving, you know, tough times, hard times, a lot of pressure, taking on like a lot of tasks yourself. So it was like kind of more that, and I feel like a lot of people can relate to that. Like I said, it's definitely hit the people my age and generation the hardest, because like that was the point in time of which we entered the workforce. Typically, you just think of entering the workforce as like something exciting, and it's like new, and you're a grown up now, but it really just slapped us all in the face. And so I'm just sitting down and reflecting on that and enjoying my time as a fun unemployee. And in that time of reflection and recollection, I realized like it led me to even change like the whole major. So I'm not even doing social work anymore. Like, I just don't vibe with it like at all. So I'm switching it to education, because like I said, I enjoy working with kids. There's like a positive population, I guess. And I guess that's like what I see myself doing in the future, like working like in some area of the education sector and schools. So I got accepted to another graduate program, and it's a master's of education in mind, brain, and education, which is a degree that is like only offered in, I think, 3 universities in the US, and one of them is Harvard. So it's, and no, I'm not going to Harvard. I'm just going to the local one here, that's in Texas. So I'm like very excited to start that program, and it's like a new fresh page that I can just turn over and start. And I'm very, you know, hopeful and excited to see like how my journey looks now. So in concluding this episode, which I hope you guys enjoyed and picked up some important lesson about it, I really hope that in anything in life, you just do what makes you happy, because life is short. Very cheesy moment, but it really is. And at one point, you're going to be like 30 or 35, not saying that that's old, but like at a point where like you don't want to spend, basically what I'm trying to say is you don't want to spend too much time doing what you don't want to do and what's not meant for you.
Thank you for tuning in and spending this time listening to this episode. If you could take 1 second to support this podcast by sharing it and leaving an honest review, it would mean so much to me and help us to reach many different audiences to spread our stories about the hijab. Until next time, never forget the power of being a hijabi.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Thanks for reaching the end of the episode. We hope you learned something new about the women who wear the hijab. You can watch the recorded video of this episode on YouTube at Journal Hijabi. And be sure to follow our Instagram at Journal Hijabi to stay updated on all things hijabi and help spread our stories. Until next time, never forget the power of being a hijabi.